Okay. Exciting ba to? Marami tayong mga kailang isip-isipin dito. Kailan na born again si Abraham? Kung ano ba dapat gawin? Pagkakaharap ka na ni Lord, pwede mo bang ilabas yung listahan mo ng good things to that you've done? Okay. It makes us think. Okay? Okay, get ready your pen and ano? Notes?
Okay. Okay. I will get to the book of Acts. Question from the last segment or reaction, opinions? If none, then let's proceed to the book of Acts. And we put here in your notes that the Acts, we believe, is the New Testament handle. And it's helpful for us to understand the historical context of the whole New Testament if we understand the role of the book of Acts. And just to review, the coming from the perspective of the whole Bible, as we get to the New Testament chronology, we have these numbers of Bible history. And to simplify our view of the whole Bible, and like I said, we call this the numbers of Bible history. The first one, we believe that we're starting from the Old Testament. Number one, we believe that one God, and of course that we refer to the creation. We read that we can read that in Genesis chapter 1, and then two starts, which is the world actually had. Two starts, that was when God created Adam and Eve. And we all know the dominion mandate in Genesis 1, 26 to 29. When the Lord said, go and multiply, that's why multiply is more biblical than Facebook. Okay. And then, that's why it's ancient. And that same command was given to Noah. That's why we say it's the second start of the world. And then, of course, three generations. That's the three generations of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now we're moving towards the second half of the book of Genesis. And then 400, meaning there are 400 years from... At nga ba 400? Oh, 400 years of stay in Egypt. The Israelites were there for 400 years. Then five leaders. This was the time of the Exodus. They had five leaders. Of course, Moses and his siblings, and then Caleb and Joshua. By the way, do you know that Joshua and Caleb is actually the picture of the church? Like Joshua, the son of Nun. Of course, he was Catholic, but... And Caleb. Caleb, his description is the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. And we know that a Kenizzite was a Canaanite. Together with the Jebusites, the Megabites, Termites, and... Tektites, you know. And so they're actually the picture of the church. Joshua being a blood descendant of Jacob, and Caleb, who was a green card holder, he was just adopted by the tribe of Judah. At least he's a second generation Judahite, but he was a Canaanite. So it's both Jews and Gentiles. Okay? But that's under five leaders, then six judges. These are the six main judges. You want to know who are those six judges? It's spelled J-O-D-G-E-S. Jephthah, Othniel, Deborah, ano ba sunod? Gideon, Ehud, and Samson, the six judges. Then seven plus. Who's the seven? Why seven plus? This is now referring to King David. When after seven sons, Samuel was trying to anoint one of the sons of Jesse to become the king. After seven sons, the Lord said, none of them, and they have to look for the eighth one, which is who's actually David. Seven plus eight, 8 years. On the eighth year of King Nebuchadnezzar, he himself attacked Jerusalem. Okay? And of course, years after, they destroyed Jerusalem. Then 900 years from the time of the Exodus to the time when the Israelites were sent back to the promised land, sent back by King Cyrus of Persia. And then 10 centuries from the time of the Exodus to the time of the closing of the Old Testament. And now we're getting to the New Testament, 11 letters that represents the name Jesus Christ, and which represents the four Gospels, then the 12 apostles. Sometimes I'm thinking that the real 12th apostle was the Apostle Paul. Well, that's my opinion. And then 13 onwards, that means Acts 13 onwards. What happened in Acts 13? The time when Paul was sent by the Holy Spirit to the mission field. Okay? Now, because we're talking about the New Testament, we'll zoom in to 12 apostles and 13 onwards. And I hope they gave you this paper. We'll talk about the book of Acts so that we can gather the books according to date. Or at least years. By the way, we put their years, 46 AD, 50 AD, 53 AD. This is circa, meaning everything is estimate. At this point, we cannot know for sure anymore. But at least there should be a plus or minus 1 year. Okay? Now, of course, the first part is that's the part 12 apostles. That's the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts. And like I said, Acts chapter 13 was the time when Paul was sent by the Holy Spirit to the mission field. And so we call that 13 onwards. And we could divide the chapters from chapter 13. And from 46 AD, when Paul was sent to the mission field up to 50 AD, that covers Acts chapter 13 to 15, or MJ1. That's the first missionary journey. Missionary journey 1. It covers roughly, you know, how do you spell roughly? R-O-F-L-E-E. Okay. Roughly, 3 chapters for every missionary journey. That's why the next missionary journey was covered by Acts 16, 17, and 18. Then the next one, 19, 20, 21. And from 57 AD to 62 AD, this was the time when the Apostle Paul was arrested by Jewish authorities in Jerusalem. Okay? And that's from chapters 22 to the end of the book of Acts, and we call that JTR, Jerusalem to Rome, because God himself promised the Apostle Paul that he will be talking to Caesar. Personally, he will appear before Caesar. And then from 62 AD to 68 AD, that's we call that post-Acts, but it's the fourth missionary journey, because in Romans 15, Paul the Apostle mentioned about him going to Spain. Yeah. Okay, that's why Sampaloc is special. Punta siya ng Espanya. Okay, maraming mga taga-Sampaloc dito. Si Risa, si Judy. Okay? Si Vicky. And then, of course, the last one is post-Acts. Before Jerusalem fell, BJF. And, you know, in Acts 13 to 15, misfire yung Galatians. By the way, what epistle was written for those who are suffering from famine? Huh? Very hungry. Colossians. Okay. Nice try. First missionary journey. Again, what happened in Acts 15? What happened in Acts 15? Significant thing. The Council of Jerusalem. And coming from the mission field, Paul met the Judaizers, the fans of Judai, telling Christians that the way to salvation is to become a Jew, and that means you have to embrace the law. Okay, that's why they reported this to the apostles. That's why they held this Council of Jerusalem. And the epistle that was written, you can see it's the issue is similar. Galatians was actually battling against the Judaizers and their false teaching that you have to embrace the law, like live the law, ceremonial law, to get saved. Of course, we know that we're still living under the law, right? But not the ceremonial law. Like, for example, thou shalt not commit adultery. Do you think that's part of the law? Yeah. Of course. We have to follow that. That's why Galatians was written around that time, that period of time, between 46 AD to 50 AD, chapters 13 to 15. That's why whenever you read Galatians, you could, and just by reading these three chapters, you could get a feel of what's happening back then. And there was an epistle that was written, a letter that was written to balance the reaction coming from, because of course in any age, there's always an extreme reaction to what's being taught, like in our churches. When the Apostle Paul said that it's by grace, a lot of them became licentious. Right? That's why there was another letter that was written to balance. What was that letter? To balance. Some people took that to extreme. Ah, grace, okay. Licentiousness. Huh? Any guess? Almost the same time to balance the extreme reaction, it's actually the letter of James. Show me your faith by your good works. It's not all, you know, yes, I believe. Yes, it's by grace, and then you're living a rebellious life. No. Show me your faith by your good works. Yun. That means James, okay? I just tried to be consistent. Four letters. Four characters. Of course, Acts 17, Paul was in Thessalonica. And that's why we believe that during that time, the two letters to the Thessalonians were written. Now, Acts 19 to 21, three letters were written, and these were 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and Romans. Okay, they believe that Paul was in Ephesus when he wrote these letters. And of course, just like what we said, Acts 22 to 20, this was the time when he was arrested, and therefore he was in chains. That's why there are four letters written during this time, and you can connect the dots by looking for that phrase in chains. Ephesians, especially Ephesians, the full armor of God. They said that probably the Apostle Paul was looking at his guard when he wrote that. He saw the armor, the shield, the weapon. He was in chains. And if you'll follow some of the people involved, or at least the people greeted by Paul in the Ephesians, you can see some of them in the... they're hungry. Colossians. And same thing with Philemon. Okay? And of course, Philippians. They're kind of contemporary in the imprisonment of Paul. Then, beyond 62 AD, this was the time when the Emperor Nero was already ruling. And you can expect persecution. That's why they said that this was the time when the apostles Paul and Peter were executed. They said Paul was beheaded and Peter was crucified upside down. I don't know what's the added effect if you put it upside down. But he was crucified. That's why we can put Timothy there, 1 Timothy. Okay? And then, of course, Tito, of course, that's Pastor Almadin. And then 1 Peter, because Peter was executed at this time too. And then 2 Timothy, that's why in 2 Timothy, Paul said, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. He was about to die, and of course, same thing with Peter. And then post-Acts, before Jerusalem fell, the other general epistles, as they call them, Hebrews, proof that God loves coffee. And then the John letters, and of course Jude. Now, we believe that everything was written before 70 AD. That's why, you know, if you notice, that's it ended there. Actually, by the way, I forgot to say this. This is just one of the many schools of thought. Okay, but we know that the epistles were written in a coming from a particular context. That's why I mentioned earlier, it's not timeless. Meaning, it's anchored in a specific context. I'm not trying to say that the relevance is not timeless. Of course, the relevance of the Word of God is timeless, but it's a product of its own context. And we believe that everything was written before 70 AD. Of course, some school of thought mentioned that, especially the Johannine writings, they came after 70 AD. But following the perspective of this New Testament scholar, John A.T. Robinson, he said that it's surprising not to see the account of the fall of Jerusalem in any of the of the New Testament material. That's why his theory was everything was written before 70 AD. Because that was such a significant event, supposedly, but it was not mentioned. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ prophesied about the fall of Jerusalem in the Gospels when he said that not any one of those stones in the temple will be left there. Okay? But everything is silent compared to the Old Testament when Jerusalem fell, when the temple was destroyed in 586 BC by Nebuchadnezzar. And you know, the effect was very evident because it was mentioned a lot of times in the Old Testament material. This destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, the New Testament is quiet. That's why we adjusted these Johannine writings pre-70 AD. Okay? Then, of course, the Gospels. This was the time of writing. And Mark, we believe, was written during this period between 57 AD and 62 AD. And then Matthew, Luke, and then Acts. Why did we put Acts here? Not earlier. Of course, it's still happening. That's why after the last scene of the book of Acts? It was Paul under house arrest. Okay? That was the ending of the book of Acts. And of course, that happened after that event. So we believe the book of Acts was written then there. And of course, the last one is the Gospel of John. Again, this was adjusted to follow our school of thought, our perspective. And then, of course, the last one. And the reason why we separated them is they were separated according to genre. Like the Gospels and Acts, it's more of narrative, whereas the other ones above are letters or epistles. And then, of course, the last one, which is apocalyptic, is the book of Revelation, written sometime 2 years before the actual fall of Jerusalem. And, you know, this school of thought support that the book of Revelation was written to prophesy the fall of Jerusalem. Okay? And basically to warn the Christians about the forthcoming judgment. It's the same thing that the Lord Jesus Christ warned them about earlier. One particular warning of Jesus was when he said that when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, it's time for you to flee. You know that during the fall of Jerusalem, like the Emperor Nero, he was persecuting the Christians, and but on 68 AD, the Emperor Nero died. At that time, Jerusalem was already encircled by a Roman army, led by General Vespasian. But when the Emperor Nero committed suicide 68 AD, they had to call Vespasian back to Rome because they nominated him, and the truth was he was the top nominee to become the next emperor. That's why the Christians, when they saw the Romans encircling Jerusalem, they were saying this was the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time for us to escape, but they cannot escape. They were surrounded. That's why when Vespasian was recalled, come back here, the Senate was summoning Vespasian. And one day, the settlers of Jerusalem learned that the Roman army was not there anymore. They were so glad that that happened. But for the Christians, they took it as the cue for them to leave Jerusalem. Because that was what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Okay? So some Christians, I can imagine there was a lot of debate. Shall we go? No, they already left. But some Christians left. True enough, 2 years after, this time, the Romans were led by Vespasian's son, Titus. They encircled the city and eventually they destroyed the city and the temple. Okay, but it was a significant event in the New Testament time, something that they should not miss. That's why, you know, like I said, we are buying that perspective that everything was written before 70 AD. Amen? Okay, so you'll ask your questions later, but let me just finish the book of Acts. We're running out of time, but that's good. At least I can escape from this den of lions. A little over an hour from now. No, it's all right. Letter B, Acts, the church's infancy. Number one, the main message. Actually, this is a short list. The main message of the apostles and the Christians during the book of Acts is Jesus is alive. It was not when Jesus Christ will return. Unfortunately, nowadays, that's, the church's main concern. It's like they're doing newspaper exegesis. They're interpreting the time by reading the newspaper. Oh, there's a war in this place. Oh, Jesus Christ will come. Okay, very much different from their message in the first century. Jesus is alive. In addition to that, although I don't know, I can't remember anymore if Jesus is Lord as a confession was included in the book of Acts. But of course, if we're going to read the epistles, we can tell that that's another confession that was very much popular during that time. And I read this from, if I'm not mistaken, from Josephus. He said that the common greeting back then in the Roman Empire, in the boundaries of the Roman Empire, is Caesar is Lord. When you greet someone, it's kind of like Mabuhay, you know. Someone will answer back, Caesar is Lord. You know, you greet someone there, Caesar is Lord, they'll answer back, Caesar is Lord. But the Lord Jesus Christ died, he resurrected, and Christians began to shout, Jesus is Lord. And for some reason, when they greet someone in the empire, this time, post-ascension, when they greeted someone, Caesar is Lord, they were surprised that someone will greet back by saying, Jesus is Lord. Because of that, the emperor was ticked off. That led to somehow the persecution of the church. And this time, it's not only one person shouting, Jesus Lord, but they're becoming more and more people doing that, which is a testimony of a growing population of Christians at that time. Okay? But, Jesus is alive. It's about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the emphasis that this message should be spread all throughout the empire. Number two, the acts of the Holy Spirit. For some reason, what was retained was the full name of the book of Acts, is the Acts of the Apostles. Recently, a lot of New Testament scholars are trying to correct that. They're saying that it should be the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because there's a lot of supernatural accounts recorded in the book of Acts. Okay? And that's basically connected, of course, to this third point, which is from Jerusalem to every nation. Because it takes the work of the Holy Spirit to make sure that the gospel will spread. And what we mean by that third point, Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to every nation, is actually based on that key verse of the book of Acts, Acts 1:8, that will become witnesses from Jerusalem, right? Then Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's why, you know, they said that because they disobeyed Acts 1:8, Acts 8:1 has to happen. When the church was persecuted, and this is the continuation of what Luke was saying when he said apostello and ekbalo, that you'll be cast out into the harvest field. And basically the Holy Spirit was saying to the believers, hey guys, Acts has only 28 chapters. It's already chapter 8 and you're still in Jerusalem. That's why they were ekbalod. persecution happened after the death of Stephen. For Stephen was stoned to death. That was literal stoned to death, not stoned to death. And thus the persecution. They were forced to spread all throughout the empire to continue the work of the Holy Spirit and to continue to spread that message that Jesus is alive. And, of course, the ends of the earth started from Acts 13 when Paul was sent to the mission field. And that's basically the structure of the book of Acts. So, of course, there's a lot more that we can get from the book of Acts. But any questions about the book of Acts? Book of Acts. Chronology. Okay, if you have no questions, again, I have no answers. Can we take a break? Okay, para we can start the last session with the epistle. Okay, let's have a break. Let's come back 3 o'clock.